Welcome, I'm Rose Aguilar, and this is Your Call. 2 days ago, the National Park Service gave final approval for a rally in San Francisco's Crissy Field, which is expected to attract white supremacists and militia groups. According to the SFPD, nearly every San Francisco police officer will be on duty. A number of the items we saw in Charlottesville will not be allowed, including guns, weapons, helmets, mace, and pepper spray. The Crissy Field event will only be accessible on foot via the Marina Boulevard gate. Everyone will be screened to ensure that those prohibited items are not brought in. And you can find more information just about what the map looks like at yourcallradio.org. No cars will be allowed and no bikes will be allowed. The entire area will be gated off. And then a second rally is planned on Sunday in Berkeley's MLK Park. No one has applied for a permit for that event, according to Berkeley officials. Last week, the Berkeley City Council passed an emergency ordinance to give the city more power to intervene during unauthorized demonstrations. Despite fears of violence, a diverse group of citizens are planning several protests and actions throughout San Francisco and Berkeley. Many of these actions will be on site at Crissy Field in San Francisco and MLK Park in Berkeley, and then others will be off-site, and there's a list at yourcallradio.org. So today we're going to open the lines, and we'd love to hear from you. What do you think is the most effective way to stand up against the kind of racism and white supremacy that we saw in Charlottesville? We're already flooded with a number of emails, and you can give us a call at 866-798-8255, 866-798-8255. How are you affected by Charlottesville, and how has that shaped your opinion about how the Bay Area should respond to what's going to happen this weekend? You can also email feedback at yourcallradio.org or tweet us at yourcallradio. Today we're joined by Shannon Bolt, organizer of Flowers Against Fascism. This is a group that's meeting on the Marina Green on Saturday in San Francisco at 12:30. Shannon is a behavior scientist and community organizer. She's been protesting on the streets of San Francisco against racism and discrimination since she was just 15. And Shannon spearheaded the Vote 123 to replace Mayor Ed Lee. And Shannon joins us in studio. Hi, Shannon. Thank you for coming in.
Hi, Rose. Thanks for having me.
Great to have you. We're also joined by Alicia Garza, co-founder of the Black Lives Matter movement. The Black Lives Matters Bay Area chapter is providing support to over half a dozen protests this weekend, and they'll be providing security training, and they'll also be sharing community organizing tips. And Alicia joins us on the line from Oakland. Hi, Alicia. Welcome back to the show.
Hi, thanks for having me.
It's great to have you. Before we dive in and talk about this weekend, I just want to ask both of you how you were affected by Charlottesville and how that has really shaped your views about what's going to happen this weekend. Alicia, let's start off with you. How are you affected by what happened in Charlottesville?
Well, it's a great question. I'm affected by what's happening in Charlottesville because I'm a Black woman that lives here in America. And what happened in Charlottesville is happening in cities all over the country where, unfortunately, the election of someone who is incredibly divisive has opened up political space for the farthest of the fringe right groups to have a national platform to spew their hateful ideologies and worldviews about the way that we should or should not be together. And so it's not just about me personally, although these groups have an explicit agenda against Black people, immigrants, queer people, Jewish people. They have an explicit agenda against what makes this country who we are. And so I think all of us should consider ourselves impacted by what's happening in Charlottesville and understand that Charlottesville is also where we live. Mm.
Shannon, what about you? How are you affected?
It was really a call to act again. I've actually been taking a hiatus from action for the last year since City Hall last year because I've been suffering from some complex PTSD. And after seeing the occupation of Charlottesville by a white supremacist militia was really troubling to see. But then also watching the video of the protesters and Heather Heyer being run over and seeing images of DeAndre Harris being attacked and, you know, nobody coming to his aid were really moving to me that, you know, this is time to show up and we can't stay home no matter how afraid we are.
And it's such a good point, because I was reading a great article in the New York Times about the two women who were in the van that got slammed. And I'm just looking this up to find their names. But one of the women, Mika Washington, I believe it was, said that she hasn't really been involved in any of these actions. But when, and they're two black women, and when she saw so many white people, including Heather Heyer, screaming for black lives and brown lives and saying, you know, standing up for brown and black lives. At that point, she said, I am now going to get back involved.
Yeah. It's really great to see slowly how the Black Lives Matter movement is starting to reach white people who have not been thinking about these issues and who have been, you know, we've been comfortably in our, you know, realms of privilege and being able to, you know, ignore the struggles of our black neighbors, really, and that we're with this new viral documentation is really changing the awareness of white citizens so that we can't live behind a veil anymore. We can't pretend anymore. And I think that people of conscience can't continue to pretend.
Alicia, what would you add to that?
I would just say that this fight against white supremacy is certainly a fight in support of the promise of what America can be, and it's a fight in support of making sure that hate doesn't win. And for us, as direct targets of this kind of movement, it's important not only that we're standing up for our black and brown neighbors, but that we're also saying, this is my fight because it impacts me. White supremacy is an ideology that corrupts all of our minds. And it makes us adhere to this notion that some people are deserving of dignity and respect and other people are not. And it's important for us to understand in this moment that white supremacy is not just neo-Nazis, it's not just Klan members, it's how we fill our prisons and jails. Mm-hmm. It's how we fund our schools. It's how we decide how resources are distributed in our communities, who has access to it, who doesn't. One thing that I find really interesting about some of the protests this weekend is that, you know, what we're seeing is our cities kind of investing a lot of resources to make sure that white supremacists and neo-Nazis are safe and taken care of this weekend. They're getting shuttles for transportation. They're getting a lot of our city infrastructure and resources. And yet, what about those of us who struggle just to survive in our cities every single day? This is one aspect of how white supremacy operates in our lives every day. And so, for me, it's very important that we all understand that white supremacy is not in the interests of those of us who want to see better schools, those of us who want to see more affordable housing in our communities, those of us who want to make sure that the school-to-prison pipeline gets interrupted. That's what white supremacy looks like every day.
It's such a good point. And on tomorrow's Media Roundtable, we're going to talk about media coverage of systemic poverty in the United States. Arthur Delaney with the Huffington Post wrote a piece that's pretty shocking. It's about how people are suffering to make ends meet. They can't find good-paying jobs, and so now they're turning to diaper banks. They can't even afford to buy diapers for their babies. And so it's such a good point, because you're right, Alicia. Tomorrow, or on Saturday, according to the SFPD, nearly every single San Francisco police officer will be on duty. We just put an email in to San Francisco Mayor Ed Lee to find out what this is going to cost the city, because at the rally in San Francisco, Shannon, I was just looking at the map. I mean, Chrissy Field is a big place.
It's massive. I work there every day.
You work there every day. And it's going to be completely gated off.
Yeah.
And the only entrance for this rally will be at the foot of the Marina Boulevard gate. So in order to ensure that these prohibited items are not brought in, aerosols, ammo, backpacks, bags, barbecue grills, coolers, drones, explosive, firearms, masks, glass. Everyone has to go through an entrance.
Yeah. It makes this excessive amount of, well, it may not be excessive given what we've seen in the recently, right? That they're trying to make this as safe, I think, for both sides. I really do think that that's the earnest intent of, you know, this mini police state that's going to take over Chrissy Field. But it makes me think, you know, okay, we're all entitled to free speech. What price tag are we all entitled to in order to pay for our free speech, right? So to my knowledge, Patriot Prayer is not reimbursing the city or the federal government for the cost of providing security for the event. They're not even willing to pay security for their event. That's why they hired a volunteer militia to be their quote-unquote security. And so, you know, how much does the state have to pay for individuals to get to exercise their free speech that endangers the public? I think that's a real valid question to be asking right now.
Yeah, and hopefully we'll get an answer to that by the end of the show. That is Shannon Bolt. She is organizer behind Flowers Against Fascism. This is a group that is meeting at the Marina Green on Saturday at 12:30. Find more information about that at yourcallradio.org. Alicia Garza is co-founder of the Black Lives Matter movement. The Bay Area chapter is providing support to over half a dozen protests over the weekend. Alicia, what went on behind the scenes when you all found out that these two groups were coming to San Francisco and Berkeley? How did you make a decision about how to respond to this?
Well, I can say that there is an incredible coalition of organizations that fight white supremacy every single day called Bay Resistance. And what that group has been doing has been making sure that we have space for people who may not have seen this as their fight previously, but want to find a community in which they can learn more about how white supremacy operates in our everyday lives and how to fight back around it. And so whenever these kinds of activities happen in the Bay Area, this is an important group that helps to bring people together to have a clear strategy and direction as to how it is that we fight it. You can find out more about Bay Resistance on www.bayresistance.org. And again, one of the things I think is so powerful and important about this group is that it has a clear strategy and statement of values for what kinds of communities we want to live in and what it takes for us to come together to achieve that goal.
Shannon, tell us a little bit about Flowers Against Fascism and what went on during the conversations you had with other members of the community about how to respond to this weekend.
Well, I actually was alerted to this event before I think a lot of other people got tuned into it. Most people didn't realize it was happening until the Monday after what happened in Charlottesville. And I posted about it in my Vote123 to Replace Ed Lee Facebook group about 3 weeks before that. And it really didn't get much traction at the time. I don't know if that's because people didn't realize the significance of it or if because we've just been so exhausted by what's happened in Berkeley that we're just kind of like, ugh, one more. Mm-hmm. So I actually immediately had this thought about how, you know, kind of what Alicia was talking about, how to bring in people who are put off by previous tactics that appear to be violent and what has been widely presented as you know, groups instigating violence with these ralliers. You know, there's differing, conflicting perspectives on that. But I felt that we could attract a much larger audience by focusing on peaceful and creative resistance. And so I wanted to create a space where people who were really drawn to that idea, and specifically folks who are interested in the fact that we're celebrating our Summer of Love Jubilee, you know, I felt that there was something to tap into there. The nostalgia of the 60s, I think, is relevant to what's happening now if we think about the movements that were happening in the 60s and the real social upheaval that was happening. And so I felt it was a way to draw lots of different demographics into action that they might not have felt like they could take before or known how to take.
Well, we'd love to hear from you. What are your thoughts on the best response to what is happening this weekend and the white supremacy that we are seeing in this country? 866-798-8255. You can also email feedback@yourcallradio.org. Just a couple emails. Lynn says, when I worked in the civil rights movement in Alabama and Chicago, we went through nonviolent passive resistance training for weeks. And as a result, we were able to stand firm against these forces without any violence on our side. This is not something that can be thrown together. Therefore, I would support ignoring their presence unless we have the ability to respond the way they did in Boston. Thanks for that, Lynn. Amy writes, when I saw the pictures of people marching with torches, chanting blood and soil and Jews will not replace us, I felt the history of the death camps in my bones. Of course, there is no right answer, but for me, it's important to bear witness. I will go to Berkeley and silently observe. Thanks for that, Amy. And Gabriella from San Francisco says, I'm helping organize a family-friendly demonstration to counter the San Francisco rally. We'll make a 100-foot heart-shaped human banner on Ocean Beach at 2 o'clock. The event is designed to show that we choose love and draw attention away from the rally in San Francisco. It'll be safe for children. And we will put links to this at yourcallradio.org. Thank you for that, Gabriella. And let's hear from Bill in San Francisco. Hi, Bill. Welcome to the show.
Hi. Can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay, great. Well, I'm going to Chrissy Field. And, I mean, my mother was a riveter during World War II, and my uncle guarded POWs, both Italian soldiers as well as Nazi officers. And it's like they didn't do that, you know, so that these guys can be in our face. Everyone should find something that works for them, but it's about showing up. I think we really have an opportunity to say, no, we're going to turn this back. It's kind of like the Rick moment in Casablanca, where he's, you know, originally he says, I stick my neck out for nobody, and of course he comes around. And I don't mean that in a light sense, but we need to get this country to where we're working for all the people who are being screwed over by the system. We have two presidents whose daughters are married into Goldman Sachs. The wars, the endless wars, the racism that we see in so many ways. We need to make this country what it can be.
Well, thank you so much. We're going to talk about Afghanistan tomorrow and connect the massive amounts of money spent overseas to the cutting of very crucial social services here in the United States. So thank you for calling in, Bill. Let's go next to Lauren in Sausalito. Hi, Lauren. Welcome to the show.
Hi. Good morning, Rose. Just a quick question about possible deferring of costs that it's going to take to have all these extra policemen on there. So is there a way to block all entrances to Chrissy Field and charge these people? You know, if you want to come in and protest, it's going to charge you $20, $40, whatever it is. Is there a way to do that? And could it no longer be called free speech if you're going to charge people to get entrance fees?
You know, again, we don't have the number. We did put an email into the mayor's office to find out if they know how much this is going to cost the city. But the entire Chrissy Field is going to be blocked off because I was wondering, it's such a massive place, so many different entrance points. And if they're going to prohibit things like guns and helmets and mace and pepper spray, how are they going to enforce this? Well, everyone is going to be screened. Everyone is going to have to walk through an entrance point at the Marina Boulevard gate.
Except for the rally attendees who will be bused in from Marin.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Where do you hear about that?
It's been reported in multiple locations that they'll be staging in Marin and being bused over, and that's why they need the CHP to be involved and the bridge force because they'll be crossing the Golden Gate Bridge. So it's actually they're providing private transportation for the rally attendees. So the question I like the idea of, you know, how much does free speech cost? Is it really free anymore? But also, you know, they're getting private transportation for their safety. So, you know, maybe they should be supporting their costs, you know. Hmm. And as far as I know, there hasn't been a surcharge on the permit applied for when you exceed public safety costs. So
interesting. I have not read about that. Thank you for that information. Mm-hmm. Hopefully we'll get some more information about cost before the end of the show. And over in Berkeley, Alicia, according to reports, no one has applied for a permit for that event. And then the Berkeley City Council last week passed an emergency ordinance to give the city more power to intervene during unauthorized demonstrations. Do you have any information about how things are going to go down on Sunday?
You know, I don't have any other additional information, but I do think it's important to make a few points. First and foremost, ignoring hate does not make it go away. And I really agreed with the first caller who said that it's important to find a lane and get in it, but it's not an option to stay home. What they want by coming to San Francisco, by coming to Berkeley, which is really the cradle of resistance for this entire country, right? This region has such a rich history of resistance, and people come here from all over the world because of its diversity, because of the values of inclusiveness. The point of white supremacists coming here is to put on display their ideology of hate and to say we can do that in the most liberal place in the world. And so it is so important for us to not just assume that ignoring it is a statement. Mm-hmm. It's not a statement. We cannot ignore people getting hit by cars when they're out protesting, where people are deliberately using cars as weapons. We cannot ignore the ways in which white supremacy and racism, systemic racism, impacts every facet and aspect of our society. And so, again, I couldn't agree more. Let a thousand flowers bloom. Go to an event. There's many events that are happening in the Bay Area this weekend, but don't stay home. I don't want us to get caught up in this narrative about what is violent and what is not violent. Mm-hmm. I actually think that we need to make sure that we understand that white supremacy is violent, and its main primary tactic is to enact violence against groups that are marginalized in our society. So if you're looking to get involved this weekend, either in Berkeley, in Oakland, in San Francisco, go ahead and text RESIST to 41411, and no matter what you do, don't ignore what's happening in the Bay Area this weekend. Ignoring it doesn't make it go away. Ignoring it gives it a platform and a stage it does not deserve.
Every time I hear somebody say we should ignore them, I think about all the people who ignored DeAndre Harris as he was being beaten to a pulp.
That's right.
And we're going to actually try to get DeAndre Harris. We're going to do a show in a couple weeks with people who were hurt in Charlottesville and sadly had to launch GoFundMe campaigns to pay for their health costs. But The Root, I just want to give a shout out to The Root because they've been doing excellent reporting. If you want to read more about DeAndre Harris and what happened to him and just the horrible video that people shot. But it's good that they shot it.
Yes, documentation is important.
We needed to see it.
Yes.
Shannon, what would you say about people who are not planning to attend? Because we're getting a lot of emails from people who say, I think they should be ignored. If you go, you should be silent. You should ignore them. They can say what they say and then have them go home and call it a day. I mean, I have a pile here of emails from people who say they're not attending.
I mean, I would love to know what world they live in where ignoring them or distracting from them is possible. Like, I'm not sure what world that is where that's even possible, because every news station is going to have reporters down there. It is the national conversation that we're having. So you're basically saying, I want to go back to bed and I don't want to pay attention to this important national conversation. I think in San Francisco and the Bay Area, we're really used to living in our comfortable echo bubble. We would rather ignore people who disagree with us because it's easier. And so I think that that is a bit of cognitive dissonance, that people are they're really craving their safety. Mm-hmm. And they're trying to rationalize their desire to cling to that safety. And I think Alicia's point is really salient, that as long as white supremacy exists, we're not safe. That safety is an illusion. And I think that I also agree that we have to do what we're called to do, right? So if you just cannot bring yourself to go down to Chrissy Field, definitely show up at another event. Though, ask yourself why you can't go down to Chrissy Field. You know, what is it that's blocking you? Are you really a member of a vulnerable population? Or are you afraid to sacrifice the privilege that you've been living comfortably with?
Shannon Bold is the organizer of Flowers Against Fascism. This is a group that's meeting at the Marina Green on Saturday at 12:30. We are learning now, because the permit just was issued 2 days ago, that a number of items will not be allowed: guns, weapons, helmets, mace, pepper spray. The Chrissy Field event will only be accessible on foot via the Marina Boulevard gate. Everyone will be screened to ensure that those prohibited items are not brought in. No cars, no bikes. Find more information about specifics at yourcallradio.org. And then the second rally that's planned for Sunday in Berkeley's MLK Park, we don't really have much information about that one because no one has applied for a permit for that event. Last week, the Berkeley City Council passed an emergency ordinance to give the city more power to intervene during unauthorized demonstrations. So unlike the San Francisco event, there's no list, no rules, no event entrance place for the Berkeley event. And today we're talking about what's happening this weekend. There's going to be a number of events happening in San Francisco and Berkeley, some of them on site at Chrissy Field and the MLK Park, but also others at other parts of the city. There's going to be children's rallies, for example, lots of other things happening. So we'd love to hear from you. Are you planning to attend? What do you think is the best response to racism and white supremacists? This is Your Call, and we'll be back after this.
This is Your Call on KALW, a show that relies on engaged listeners. You can join today's conversation. The phone lines will fill up at 866-798-8255. You can comment, post a comment or question to yourcallradio.org, or you may tweet us at Your Call Radio.
Hey, a man come along. Jesus. Vigilant man, stormy days, we pass the time away. Yeah, sleeping in some good warm place.
This is Your Call. I'm Rose Aguilar. Coming up tomorrow, it's our media roundtable. We'll be discussing media coverage of the 16-year U.S. invasion of Afghanistan and its impacts on the civilian population. Donald Trump just unveiled plans to expand U.S. military intervention there by sending up to 4,000 more soldiers to the region. We'll also talk about the Republican tax cut plan and the rise of diaper charity organizations. As I said earlier, as more families are struggling with poverty and a lack of good-paying jobs, they are turning to diaper charity groups. That's tomorrow. And if you have a show idea or a guest idea, you can drop us a line, feedback@yourcallradio.org. Today, we are talking about this weekend's rallies in San Francisco and Berkeley. And you can find specific information at yourcallradio.org. How do you plan to respond? How do you think the Bay Area should respond to racism? and white supremacists. You can give us a call at 866-798-8255. You can also email feedback at yourcallradio.org. Today we're joined by Shannon Bolt, organizer of Flowers Against Fascism. They are meeting at the Marina Green on Saturday in San Francisco at 12:30. Shannon is a behavior scientist and community organizer. She spearheaded the Vote 123 to replace Mayor Ed Lee. We're also joined by Alicia Garza, co-founder of the Black Lives Matter movement. The Bay Area chapter is providing support to over half a dozen protests this weekend. They're also going to provide security training. And now I would like to welcome Alex Seamus to the show. Alex is a Berkeley City College student and organizer of the Bay Area Rally Against Hate event at UC Berkeley starting at 10:30 on Sunday on the Crescent Lawn. The rally has been endorsed by a number of organizations, including many unions. Hi, Alex. Welcome to the show.
Hi.
Hi, thank you for joining us. Alex, tell us a little bit about the event on Sunday in Berkeley, and we're still trying to get more information about what's going to happen on Sunday. I understand that no one has applied for a permit for that event.
Yeah, that's correct. What we do know, though, and so I've been part of, we started organizing the Bay Area Rally Against Hate in early July when we learned that the Facebook page had gone up for the right-wing demonstration here in Berkeley. And we do know that the person that is hosting the Facebook page goes by the name of Amber Cummings and was someone that was armed and involved in the street fighting in Berkeley in the spring, in April and March. This person had gone to the park, MLK Park, in April and March with a shield and a stick and was engaged in scuffles with various people. So we do know that we also know that the infamous Kyle Chapman, also known as Based Stickman, on some of the dark corners of the internet, is planning on going. He's talking about that on the Facebook page as well. And this is a person who is known for breaking sticks over the heads of left-wing counter-demonstrators.
And both of those people are speakers at the San Francisco rally as well.
Oh, they are.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So what are your thoughts, Alex, on the differences between how city officials are dealing with these rallies? Because here in San Francisco, there's a long list of things that will not be allowed, including pepper spray, weapons, helmets, guns. And people going to the rally at Chrissy Field will have to be screened, and there's only one accessible spot. You have to enter by foot via the Marina Boulevard gate. What about Berkeley?
Right. Well, I think we started organizing the Bay Area Rally Against Hate based on a number of principles. The first one is that it is important to confront the far right when they demonstrate. And that is because it's not just that they want to project their ideas in a place like Berkeley or a place like San Francisco. They actually want to hurt people, like in a literal way. They're out there to demonstrate their force and their ability to control a public space using that force. And so we think it is important to confront them when they demonstrate in places like Berkeley or San Francisco. But we think that it's important for us, the people of Berkeley and San Francisco and the Bay Area generally, to confront them and not to rely on the government or the state. So we actually released a statement, the Bay Area Rally Against Hate Working Group, to criticize the emergency ordinance that was passed in the city of Berkeley, because we feel that any of these laws that are prohibiting various items that normally people have the legal right to have on them can be used against both sides. And frankly, we expect our side to outnumber the far right, and so we may be more of a target. We also know that in a city like San Francisco, we've known this for years now, that there's a network of white supremacist police officers inside of the police department. Okay. They were exposed by their text messages in the media. Okay. And so, you know, saying things like, you know, we need to hang black people and this sort of thing. So we think we have to rely on ourselves and not the government to confront the far right.
What do you know about this ordinance that was passed last week in Berkeley?
I know that it means that on the streets of Berkeley, the city manager is allowed to declare a whole number of items to be essentially contraband and, confiscatable by the police.
Alicia, what are your thoughts about that? We're getting a couple questions from listeners about de-escalation tactics. I mean, if weapons and things cannot be allowed in San Francisco at this point, Berkeley seems like it's going to be open, and who knows what's going to be brought to this event. If it's anything like what we saw last time in Berkeley, it could get really ugly.
I think it's important for us to remember that you should find something that you feel comfortable doing, and it's important to remember what it is that we're here fighting for and what we're fighting against. I couldn't agree more that you don't ignore bullies, right? Ignoring bullies is not an effective strategy to keep bullies from being bullies. You have to confront them and make their hatred known. The second piece that I feel is really, really important to highlight here is the piece around what their agenda is. We cannot ignore that there are white supremacists everywhere, and that their goal, yes, is to spread their ideology. It is to do that through violence. And it is also to do that through policies and laws. We have a president who openly said that the folks that are coming to our cities to enact violence against our communities are good people. We have a president who has allowed into his administration people who have known ties to white supremacist organizations and have expressed sympathies with white supremacists. We also have in our presidential administration people who are known enemies to civil rights, like Jeff Sessions, people who block black people from being able to exercise their democratic right to vote and to participate in the decisions that impact our lives. So again, we cannot ignore bullies. These bullies are everywhere. They do not just wear hoods or carry torches. And our best defense against these kinds of bullies and against the bullying and the violence of white supremacy is not to close our eyes to it and think that it will go away. We have to ask ourselves, what would the world look like if we had ignored Nazi Germany? What would the world have looked like if we ignored the sit-ins in the South during the civil rights movement? What would the world look like if we ignored Black Lives Matter? It's really important for us to stand up and to show this ideology and the people who try to transform it into laws and policies, that it won't be tolerated here in the Bay Area.
I think that last point is really salient, because about turning white supremacy ideology into policy, because, you know, the organizers of these rallies make a compelling claim that they're not racist, they're not white supremacists, because many of them are people of color. They did a great job bringing in a very diverse panel to come to their defense for that. And when you look a little closer at the rhetoric, the rhetoric actually matches much more extreme ideology in terms of, you know, they're essentially McCarthyists. That's why the, you know, No Marxism in America is the name of the rally for in Berkeley. And so I think this, and of course we know that free speech is a dog whistle cue for white supremacists and white nationalists. And I think that there's also ways to condone white supremacy without realizing that you're doing that. And I think that that often takes the form of policies that expand state control to minimize rights and freedom.
Shannon Bolt is organizer of Flowers Against Fascism, a group that is meeting at the Marina Green on Saturday at 12:30. Shannon's a behavior scientist and community organizer. Alicia Garza is co-founder of the Black Lives Matter movement. The Bay Area chapter is providing support to over half a dozen protests and actions this weekend. And Alex Seamus is organizer of the Bay Area Rally Against Hate event at UC Berkeley on Sunday, starting at 10:30 on the Crescent Lawn. That rally has been endorsed by a number of organizations, including many unions. And today we're talking about what's going to happen this weekend. What is the best way for the Bay Area to stand up against racism and white supremacists? You can give us a call at 866-798-8255. You can also email feedback at yourcallradio.org. And if you're just tuning in, it's important to note that the Crissy Field event on Saturday will only be accessible on foot via the Marina Boulevard gate. Everyone will be screened to ensure that items like guns, weapons, mace, pepper spray, helmets are not brought in. We just got a call from the San Francisco mayor's press office. They said they do not have an estimate yet about what this will cost, but they'll be sending us an update, and then we'll let you know when we get that. Over in Berkeley, there's a second rally planned on Sunday. No one has applied for a permit for that event. And last week, the Berkeley City Council passed an emergency ordinance to give the city more power to intervene during unauthorized demonstrations. Let's go to our next caller. Let's hear from David in Berkeley. Hi, David. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Rose. Thank you very much for taking my call. I realize that not all of the white supremacist and fascist demonstrators are male. Nonetheless, in the spirit of the comedian and actor Louis C.K., who once famously commented that what women fear most from men is being killed, whereas what men fear most from women is being ridiculed, I would suggest that one of the most strategic responses would be for the fascist and white supremacist demonstrators to be surrounded and to be in an organized and disciplined and relentless fashion laughed at. Thank you very much.
All right, David, thank you. We'll take a few more calls, and then we'll get responses from our guests. Let's go to Matt in San Francisco. Hi, Matt. Welcome to the show.
Hi. Thank you so much for having me, Rose, and thanks to all the guests that have, and callers that have said so much. I'm part of a group of neighbors in the Sunset District. We call ourselves the Sunset Resistant Council. We formed informally in the wake of the elections this past November. We are communicating with each other by social media and meeting in person, and we also use just the digital and physical spaces to talk about our ongoing disgust with the president and his un-American policies and unstable behavior. Another, the last caller mentioned Louis C.K. I just want to mention another comedian, Chelsea Handler, who's convinced that the president has syphilis. but I'm calling to kind of talk about something that our group put together this past week, last Friday. I belong to an ethnic group that's been targeted by these hate groups and others like them. I'm a Jewish man, and I'm familiar with the sit-in as a nonviolent tactic for disrupting business as usual by drawing attention to an issue. And so what we did was we organized the sit-in this past Friday at the National Park Service offices at 333 Bush Street. And I had seen statements from Mayor Lee, Scott Weiner, and others condemning the rally and encouraging the Park Service to revoke this permit, but not any response from the feds. So we went ahead and put this together. There were a few officers from the Central Station that were very, very friendly and very helpful, as well as building security. All they asked was that we not block the wheelchair ramp. Everybody was looking out for people's safety. We had a couple of people either walking by. There was that were say kind of oddly inflammatory things to us, and there was one man who kind of aggressively pushed through the line and said a couple expletives at the group. But we had a good group of 15 people there, and we were really pleased to see the city planning for that that rally on Friday. I'm not sure what the plan on with that is on Friday. We were planning to attend that, but I think now that
Matt, can you just tell us what you're planning for Saturday?
Yeah, so for Saturday, sure. So for Saturday, we're planning to we're really encouraging people to go to Crissy Field if they're feeling comfortable and safe, but to not be ignoring this event and to not be ignoring this hate.
And Matt, I just want to ask you quickly, the anti-Semitism we saw in Charlottesville was just shocking. We saw the video, the Vice video. If you haven't seen that yet, you should check it out. But marching these young men in the khakis and the white polo shirts saying Jews will not replace us. Have you done research on the groups that are coming to San Francisco on Saturday and Sunday? Do you expect something similar?
I'm hoping, what I'm really hoping for is something more similar to Boston, where the turnout from the community that's counter-protesting is so overwhelmingly strong and so overwhelmingly against these hateful groups that that we can confront them peacefully and just in a big way to kind of send them back to the place that they came from, which was into obscurity, mm-hmm. Having not been emboldened by a president and an administration. So really what I'm hoping for is that kind of a response, that we can really have more of a Boston.
Can I jump in, Rose, and ask you to answer your question?
Yeah, thank you for calling in, Matt.
You know, I haven't seen anything overtly anti-Semitic among the videos and literature and things related to these groups. However, I think it's worth noting that this event is called Patriot Prayer, and there's specifically a focus on prayer and religion as a uniting force for the country, and I think that that's extraordinarily problematic. So there's definitely a Christian supremacy thing going on. You know, they say, oh, well, you accept everyone. Well, if you accept everyone, then you have a fully inclusive spiritual event, right? I mean, if that's what you're going for, and you also embrace atheists, you know. So when you're focusing on this religion as the force that unites us, you know, that's not what America is about, and never has been. And I think that that's really a problem. So whether it's overt anti-Semitism or low key Christian supremacy, yeah. I think that that's. You know, those things go hand in hand, and there's probably going to be less overt anti-Semitism, but that doesn't mean that we shouldn't still be standing up to anti-Semitism when we arrive. And again, that's the position of the organizers of the rally. Who attends the rally is a totally different matter. We've seen pictures of bikers coming to town with Confederate flag helmets. You know, that's a clear signifier. We know what that means, right?
Right. Well, thank you for calling in, Matt. I just want to read a couple more emails. Rob says, if the white supremacists are being bussed in from Marin County, are there any plans to block the Golden Gate Bridge to keep them out of San Francisco? Akava says, I disagree that not going to a counter rally is tacit agreement or like ignoring the young man getting beaten up. I think some of these supremacist groups are looking for a confrontation. They'll provoke it. They will gladly say, see, the liberals are violent. They don't believe in free speech. Pauline says, I am standing up to the white supremacists in the name of my parents who prevented Nazis from invading Britain in World War II. I cannot ignore this invasion of hate. Leona, ignore Chrissy Field. Do not give hate groups what they want. Go anywhere else to voice counter groups. And then we have an email from Elizabeth who says, I'm a senior and I definitely want to be at Chrissy Field. Do we know anything about Muni's plans? Yes, Elizabeth, you can take the 22 Fillmore or the 43 Masonic. You have to enter via the Marina Boulevard gate. Everyone will be screened at that gate, but the Presidio Park shuttle bus will not be operating on Saturday. I hope that answers your question.
And the Flowers Against Fascism contingent will be elderly friendly and friendly to folks who are disabled in one way or another. I personally have many health struggles and will be at risk for triggering some of them. So we'll have contingency support plans for each other as well. So if you want to join us at 12:30 on the Marina Green to go in with Flowers Against Fascism, we will make a concerted effort to make sure that everyone is supporting one another.
Yeah, that's a really good point, Alicia, because after Charlottesville, I mean, so many people were just glued to their computers and screens. And this is a very traumatic event for a lot of people. I mean, whether it's watching the video of the car slam into peaceful marchers, seeing photos of Heather Heyer, seeing her mom speak about her, or watching the video of DeAndre being beaten up. I mean, there's just so much. How are you all planning to deal with that?
Well, part of the way that I plan to deal with that is to make sure that the resistance that happened in Boston that shut down that white supremacist rally mm-hmm. is happening here in the Bay Area. For me, what is healing is making sure that I stand up, that I lend my voice and say that I am not for this hateful agenda, and that I will do everything that I can to uproot mm-hmm. white supremacy and white supremacists from the communities that we all deserve to live in. And again, for those of you who are wanting to find out how to get involved in the weekend's activities, and if you want to be with a group that is going to Chrissy Field, not to confront white supremacists, but instead to show that we are more numerous and more powerful than they are, you can text RESIST to 41411.
And I also think that this idea that hate groups want conflict at their rallies is not entirely accurate in all cases. I think that, yes, it can support their narrative, but I think also there's nothing that the left, we could be as good as possible, and the far right is still going to come up with ways to malign the left. So that's still even coming out of Boston. They're going to malign us either way, and not trying to ignore them or not showing up to hold our space to prevent them from invading it and occupying it is actually something that is sorry, I totally lost my
train of thought. No, but to that point, Michael and El Cerrito, we don't have time to take your call, but Michael wanted to emphasize that groups that are showing up to counter white supremacists and racists must stay disciplined and stay united.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Was mentioned in one of the emails, there actually have been trainings going on. And no, it's something you can't put together last minute, but many of the people who are participating are actually experienced organizers and experienced activists. And the trainings are really focused on de-escalation and safety. They actually gave warnings about if you do use self-defense, that you then have to prove your case of self-defense. And so it's not the preferred route when attacked, that de-escalation is the number one method to go home safely.
Alicia, final thoughts on staying united and staying disciplined?
And just remembering that we are a bastion for the rest of this country to show what the promise of America could actually look like. And so if you go to bayresistance.org, you will find lots of tips on how to stay safe this weekend, lots of tips on where you can go, particularly for family-friendly events, but also for people who want to go to Chrissy Field and want to make sure that they do so safely and effectively. Last thing I will say here once more is that I know that the Bay Area will make us proud. I know that the Bay Area will stand up and say not in our name and not in our backyard. And again, if you're looking for ways to get involved, please text RESIST to 41411.
Thank you. And Alex Seamus, final thoughts from you, about 30 seconds.
Yeah, Bay Area Rally Against Hate is co-endorsed by over 100 different organizations, including the Alameda Labor Council, the San Francisco Labor Council, all of the biggest unions in the city of Berkeley, several socialist organizations, Jewish Voice for Peace, the Council on American Islamic Relations. We're going to have over 200 security volunteers. We're not directly adjacent to the fascists. People should come. This is going to be maybe the biggest, most organized demonstration that we can pull off in the Bay Area, and it'll be important to show the rest of the country how to fight the right. I couldn't agree with Alicia more.
Alex Seamus is organizer of the Bay Area Rally Against Hate event at UC Berkeley on Sunday, starting at 10:30 on the Crescent Lawn. Shannon Bolt is organizer of Flowers Against Fascism, a group that's meeting at the Marina Green on Saturday at 12:30. Alicia Garza is co-founder of the Black Lives Matter movement. The Bay Area chapter is providing support to over half a dozen actions and protests this weekend. Shannon, Alicia, and Alex, thank you all for joining us.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you.
Thank you. And we just got an email from Betsy. She is organizing a musical response. It's a pop-up community chorus called Choral Majority. More than 150 people have signed up so far to sing, and they'll be marching with an interfaith group leaving the First Congregational Church of Berkeley to go downtown. And again, the Berkeley rally is on Sunday. No one has applied for a permit for that event yet. The city council has issued an emergency ordinance to give the city more power to intervene during unauthorized demonstrations. What's happening on Saturday at Chrissy Field, nearly every San Francisco police officer will be on duty. If you go to that event, you've got to enter via the Marina Boulevard gate. It's the only accessible way. That way they can screen people to ensure that things like guns and weapons are not brought in. Find more information at yourcallradio.org. I'm Rose Aguilar. Thanks for joining us. It's Your Call.